is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best. The cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. Sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. All right, please help us welcome the great Jeff Shore.
There's no doubt about it. That sense of this is, again, going back to the buyer psychology, that sense of dissatisfaction, sometimes it rises over time because our life grows away from our car gets whatever it is. But then there are trigger events. And trigger events happen in life. You know, your car gets totaled or the wrong neighbors move in or, you know, something just happens. It's a health issue, whatever the product is. Man, if you can find that trigger event, you see that dissatisfaction, suddenly that line takes a hockey stick turn on you.
Yep.
And that dissatisfaction shoots up. If you can pinpoint, so for me with the mattress, it was the moment we moved our bed back into the room and went, this bed's getting swallowed up by the wall. If you can figure out the trigger event, you're going to be able to vault that process forward all to your customer's benefit.
So how do you recommend our diehards go about that? How do they find
especially
the
when their training flies in the face of it.
Yeah. The very first thing is it starts in the mindset. 98% of salespeople out there are more interested in what you're moving to than what you're moving from. So that's the first mindset.
Say that again.
98% of salespeople are more interested in what you're moving to than what you're moving from.
Got it.
So if you can figure out where they're coming from, so go back to car sales. The most important piece of information I have right now, that I could possibly have right now, what are you driving and why is it not working for you? If I can figure that out first, then it forms the foundation for every decision that you're going to make going forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where it has to start. If I don't understand the very motivation that brought them through the door in the first place, to me, the most important question in all of sales is not, would you like to buy it? It's, why are you here? Why are we talking? If I can get that much figure out, the why, that would you like to buy it is the easy part of the conversation. But we're so stuck with, you know, what's features and what's your price point and what's your time frame and financing that we've missed that major, major step. And when we do that, it's over. Now you're right back to what you were talking about, Jeffrey. What is steel or graphite? Five scores less. That's what I want. Five holes less. Yeah.
So you should tweet that. It's not what you're moving to. It's what you're moving from. I love that.
I really like
that
tweetable.
Too.
So if I was selling a car and someone came in and I greeted them, I would stop them and say, hey, if you could have any car in this place, what would it be? And they would go, and they give an answer. And I say, come on, let's take it for a drive.
Yeah, but that's what you're moving to. What Jeff is saying is, let's find out what you have and what you're moving from.
I can find that out because when they're behind the wheel, that's tactile ownership. And I can get them at that point to say, okay, so I forgot to ask you a couple of questions. What were you thinking about when you got here? And tell me about your car that exists right now. How many miles do you have on it? Because that's what I really want to know. Have they driven it into the ground, or are they changing it every 2 years?
Yeah. Yep. The key here is that you've got to get both of those factors. Future promise, what I want my life to look like, and current dissatisfaction, what's wrong now. When those things are maximized, that's what propels us to move forward.
And I'm going to add, that customer has to be relaxed in order to be able to give you that information. And that's why I said, let's take a drive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, listen, this is why, you know, when Robert Cialdini wrote his book on Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion, you know, one of the key aspects, and this, again, falls under the idea of mental shortcuts that our buyers take. If I like you, look, can I sell to somebody who doesn't like me? Yes. Is it way harder? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is a specific link between whether I like you and whether I trust you, which is interesting to me. That should not exist. There shouldn't be a link between like and trust, but it's a mental shortcut that customers will give us the doubt on. They'll give us the benefit of the doubt on. So if I'm looking at it, I'm just saying, hey, I'm not trying to be, you know, schmoozy and schmarmy about this. I'm just like being my best self for a little bit. So now when I ask the questions, they're much more willing to be open and honest and to share the answers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Motivation Monday.
So, are you leaving it all out on the field in a presentation? Here's the question from Dwayne, and he wrote this in the Seller Diehards official Facebook group. I've been doing many more presentations of late. That's great. And even though I've repeatedly gotten great feedback on how wonderful the session was, I have a hard time feeling that there were things that I wanted to say differently or wanted to include, but I forgot to. How do you come to terms with such an issue?
Number one, you go by slides. Your slide will come out with every single point. You'll never miss a beat. You'll never forget anything. You'll never be regretful for what you said or didn't say. And you'll be within your time limit.
Didn't we read an article recently somewhere where someone was like, kill the PowerPoints. PowerPoints are dead.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It's like maybe boring PowerPoints are dead.
Yeah, marketing PowerPoints, they're dead.
But like interesting PowerPoints where you're actually helping someone, those aren't dead.
Or the PowerPoints that are funny or PowerPoints that are engaging or PowerPoints that have eye appeal or PowerPoints that reinforce what it is that you're going to say or PowerPoints that back up your proof for statements, but not... This is a little hard to read.
I mean, like you, where they put 600 words on one slide. Yeah exactly. Not.
Or the slides spin around or the
annoying.
Type comes.
But you can put videos in a PowerPoint. Like you can make them compelling that, you know, they're fun to watch for the person.
But
so slides keep you on track.
Yeah. But recording your session, that's what really does it. The slide will keep you on track. You have to have that. But if your audience thinks your presentation is great, I wouldn't trust them. They're just patting you on the head and telling you that you're pretty.
Well, who is the audience? Is like your sales manager in the audience? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe he thinks it's great. I don't know.
If you video your presentation, you'll see yourself. And I'm imploring you that when you watch the video, take notes.
Yeah.
So you sit down and you record what it is that you should be doing, you could be doing better, and then do it the next time and do it the next time. And when you've got about 10 recordings done, you'll be way, way better than you are right now.
And here's the deal, especially if you're new to whatever it is you're presenting, like you might think that you can record whatever you're doing and watch it one or two times and now you're good to go because you've now done it one or two times more than everyone else on the sales team. But like for me, when I was a new rep, I literally recorded my presentation 25 plus times minimum and then listened to it 25 plus times minimum. And each time I listened to it, and this is what you should do, I took notes on what I didn't like and what I liked and what I wanted to keep elaborating on or what I wanted to never say again, because some things you say sound really stupid and you don't realize that until you listen to yourself. And so literally, I mean, it took me weeks of preparing hours a day to get it all in the back of my mind so that I could just give the presentation and say all the points that I wanted to say. And that doesn't happen overnight. I think a lot of people don't realize mm-hmm. how much prep time and how much work goes into the actual presentation before you meet with the customer.
If you want additional info, go to Amazon.com, buy the little green book of Getting Your Way. Inside that book is everything that I've learned about presentations, how to give them, including the list that I carried with me for 3 years of what to do and what never to do in a presentation after I had watched my own for 3 hours.
The little green book of Getting Your Way. It's such a good book. I really like it.
Yep.
I think that Duane also has an issue that a lot of people that create things have, which is sort of the fine line between self-evaluation and self-doubt. Because in this question, he's saying he has a hard time feeling that there were things that he wanted to say differently or wanted to include but forgot to. So, you know, he's looking back and having those regrets, and that vexes all creators.
Was that the voice of God?
No, that was Doug Branson.
That was our producer.
Reverse it and add a U. That's yeah. The voice of Doug.
Oh, wow, cool.
For those of you who have no idea who that was Doug Branson, our amazing producer, the guy behind the scenes who makes all of this happen. So
I would challenge you that, and to Doug's point, you can't second guess yourself and go, oh, geez, I wish I was good. That's bullshit. You go out with your best balls on. You give the best performance that you possibly can. You video it, you watch it, you tweak it, and then you move on to the next week.
Let's welcome in David Siteman Garland.
So one that I find really interesting in terms of success was Renee Christine. So Renee Christine is now known as the queen of handmade businesses. So what we're talking about is teaching women. She says stay-at-home moms how to create successful craft businesses.
Like Etsy kind of stuff?
Etsy-ish kind of stuff, exactly.
Okay.
She had sold a craft business. Then she ran out of money. There's a whole crazy story. There was a divorce. There was shenanigans. There was all these different things. And she was kind of down to her last leg.
Sounds like her story could have sold.
It was. And she ended up launching a course to teach how to create a business like this. And it did $3,000 on the first launch.
Wow.
Okay. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, and this is what I always find fascinating. Some people would say $3,000. Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And some people might say $3,000 epic fail.
Right.
Right. For her, and this is the point of the story, it was amazing. She sent me now this infamous video. We call it the crying girl video on the internet, where she is literally sobbing in the video because she's so excited. She had tried everything else. She's finally making a little bit of money. Okay. And she was going to the Disney store, getting her kids some stuff. I mean, it was just like a really cool, like emotional video. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what she did from there was amazing, because it's not just about that massive launch. You hear about that online. That's what I call online hype BS, right? Where people saying you have to have a six-figure or seven-figure launch of a course. That's crap. That's 0.0001% of people, right? So she did $3,000, but she kept getting better. She learned how to promote better. She learned how to build her email list better, and it kept going and going and going. We're now about 3 years later with this, so a little bit less than three. She did 1.7 million in sales last year.
Way to go.
I love that.
You know, and it's just, you hear stories like that and you're like, holy crap, that's pretty awesome. And then—
Wait, time out. Hold on. How much was your course?
My course is $997, or there's a payment plan, that's a mouthful, for 12 payments of $97.
All right, so let's just say she paid $1,000, okay?
$1,000.
So she invested $1,000 in herself.
Probably her last $1,000.
Right?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, she was literally, she was on my podcast, and this is sad, I mean, because this is not a cliche story. She literally was starting to Google homeless shelters, and she has three kids. You know, because she wasn't sure, and she was down, and yeah, $1,000 on the course, Jennifer, and then maybe,
and she turned that into $1.7 million.
Yeah, well, much
in
more
one
than
year.
That,
she doesn't go to Disney World or Disneyland. She buys a house outside of Disneyland,
exactly,
and buys a season ticket.
They actually just built a house down in Connecticut, but it's funny because I think overall now she's probably closer to like $3 million.
That's life changing.
Is she punishing herself by living in Connecticut?
I mean, no. Well, hey, that's a whole other story. But I mean, that's. that's, you know, that's a fascinating topic. And then on the other end, you know, people hear one of the cliches or myths about online courses is that you have to have a course that is directly related to business and money. And that's not true. Right. So that's an example of one that is, because she's helping stay-at-home moms with their craft businesses. Mm-hmm. You guys help sell. I help with Create Awesome Online Courses. Right. So people sometimes get this fake, you know, knowledge of like, oh, if I'm not selling how to make money, even though that's a great topic on many different levels, right, that it's not successful.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.